And my sermon today is very much pertaining to this theme, inherit God's promises. And this morning, imagine I own a orange grove and people like you guys are hungry and you want to eat. So I can do two ways. I can pluck that one and give it to you, or I can invite you to my orange grove and say, Nathan, you can have whatever you want. And this very morning is about coming to the promises of God. And God is not going to put the promises onto your lap. He's going to say, come and look at all my promises and you can have it all. That's exactly what God is saying today for you and for me. And I want to reiterate by reading the scripture that is within the theme that I was talking about for this year. It's found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 18 and 29. Let me read to you. It says here, for if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in His grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. And in verse 29, He says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Can I hear somebody say amen? This is a wonderful word of God. Promises is not just to Abraham, but they're so linked up and relevant to all of us. He says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I believe that we too can have those promises. However, there are some limitations for us to understand certain promises. You know, not all promises are meant for you. such as when the Lord told Abraham, you would have a son. That promise was meant for the patriarch, not for you. I can't imagine Peter saying, well, I'm going to have that promise and Peter is going to have a son.
No, I've got three already.
Oh, you got three, that's right. Lord, give him a daughter, hallelujah. Yes, yes. He has a lot of spiritual daughters. Hallelujah. There are some promises that we cannot claim them. But there are promises that all of us can have. The Bible says that He will never leave us. He will not forsake us. And God's promises never fail. The third thing that you and I need to know is that promises are conditional. Isn't it wonderful? We can't just say, well, the promises are for me, therefore, no matter how I live my life, the promises will be there. But there are some promises that are conditional. One example is Psalms 37, verse 4, that says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. We like the last part, isn't it? But we forgot the first part. So, as much as God given us those promises, we must stand in agreement with God's promises. It is not just for you to observe and say, yes, by faith, I'm going to take those promises. But the Lord says, stand in agreement. I want you to have a look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, when Paul wrote these words. He says, all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. You see, the promises of God are for eternal life for all who believe in the Son of God. And He says these promises are found in Him, in Christ. And truly, we are here to say amen. We are here to agree with those promises. Therefore, when you hear those words, you are called to stand on those promises in agreement. When the Lord says that He will do something wonderful, we say amen. We say yes, Lord, because we are in agreement with those promises. You know, sometimes in marriage, people who think that when they get married, husband and wife, and then they go about living for the next 2, 3 years and 4 years, and they think it's okay, you know, I know my wife knows me, and all that sort of things, and we take each other for granted. And husbands, sometimes they don't realize they were told from the Word of God how to treat your wife, how to look after your wife, and we tend to take things for granted, and we fail. And then we wonder why. Every time when I pray, God doesn't answer my prayer. But the Bible did say something along that line. In case you are not aware, it's taken in 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 7. Let me read to you. He said, husbands, in the same way be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. And as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that, listen to this, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. It doesn't stop there, but he says this. From verse 10 onwards, it says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That is why we need to live our life like an amen. We don't only say amen, but we live as amen to God's word. We live as amen to the promises of God. And in view of those promises, the Lord relates that to our inheritance. These are our inheritance. The Bible talks about our inheritance in Christ. And very quickly, I just want to show you that these four beautiful pictures of what inheritance in Christ actually mean. First of all, the inheritance of Christ is imperishable. We live in the world of decay. We live in the world that we had to go through the law of thermodynamics. We go through the law of corruption in this world. Everything seems to be rusting. Everything seems to be falling apart. But the Bible tells me our inheritance in Christ is imperishable. Secondly, our inheritance in Christ is unspoiled. You know, there is nothing perfect on this earth. And if any one of us think that we are perfect, we shouldn't be here on this earth anymore. We look closely enough that we often find imperfection. If you are not sure whether we have imperfection, look at yourself in the mirror every morning when you get up. You will know how imperfect we are. Isn't it true? Many years ago, I looked at myself and I thought that I will always have enough hair. But one morning and I got up, I saw hair was receding. Next morning I get up, it receded further and further. Till today, it is called the River Jordan. And it was already parting very much. But I can't help it. Therefore, a lot of time people say, can you do something about it? I have only one fashion on my head. This is the only fashion I have. And therefore, I have no confusion at all. Some of you here have a lot of hair. You're so confused. You're so, so confused. You do not know how to decide what fashion you want. You keep doing all kinds of fashion, all kinds of colors. Peter and I, we have no problem with that. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Our inheritance is also unfading. I was looking at my old photos. They were all fading, actually. But today we live in a society that we have a faded values. We have faded values, depreciating. We compromised a lot. But the Bible tells me that God is making everything new. Our inheritance in Christ is unfading. Our inheritance in Christ, lastly but not least, is already reserved for you and for me. It is kept in heaven. Your crown of glory has your name on it. Somebody say amen. And Hebrews 11:10 tells me that Abraham says this. He was looking forward to the city with foundation whose architect and builder is God. So it has been reserved for you and for me. So these are our inheritance, and they are very much linked up with the promises of God. However, today I just want to touch on the promises of Abraham. The promises of Abraham was grossly ignored. It is very sad, but today I want to take you to go along with me as we operate on the axis of these promises given to Abraham. You know, Abraham was told to together with his dad and his family, they were told to leave Ur, and as they were leaving, they were going to a land, and they landed themselves in Haran. And in Haran, God spoke to Abraham. That's where that's where his father passed away. And this time God spoke to Abraham. And the word of the Lord said this in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and Hebrews 11, verse 8. The Lord says to Abraham, go from your country, which is Haran now, your people and your father's household, to the land I will show you. In other words, he was not sure of whereabouts. And verse 4, which is not in your slide, it says this. So Abraham went. He didn't even argue. He didn't even say, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? He just went. As the Lord had told him. The Bible says that. Of course, his nephew came along, the name by the name of Lot. And by that time, Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And the New Testament reiterate that particular story. And the author says this, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And because of this, I realize there's something very important for us to take note. I ask this question, why is the promise to Abraham relevant to me? Why is it relevant? It's very important for us to ask that question. But I have very simple answers to it before we get into the detail of that promise. First of all, the promises of God is actually described by Paul as the gospel. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 says this word. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. What was the gospel? All nations will be blessed through you. Wow. I thought the gospel is about Jesus who died for me, but this is also part of the gospel. As a matter of fact, Paul preached the word, and he was in prison for preaching the gospel. In fact, Acts 26, verse 6 to 7 says this. Listen to this. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. You see, it was God who has promised our ancestors, which he preached, and he was in prison for that as well. So it is a gospel which very much involved in the promises of Abraham. And the second thing is, the reason why it's relevant is this. When a person is without Christ, it means that they are strangers to the covenant of promise. The scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says this. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Therefore, the promise of Abraham is relevant to me. Because if I belong to Christ, as we just read earlier in Galatians 3, verse 29, if we belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And it's also relevant for me because thirdly, is that one of the reasons for Jesus Christ's work was to fulfill and confirm his promises to Abraham. Look at the scripture. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. So the fulfillment of God's work through Jesus Christ is also to confirm the promise that was given to the forefathers. It is a relevant thing. So the promises of Abraham is relevant for you and for all of us. If that is the case, what were the promises to Abraham? Let's have a look at it. How many of you ready? Amen? These are the promises. Because I want to remind you, we are now heirs according to the promises given to Abraham. Let's for a moment look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. This was the initial promise right at Haran. The word came to Abraham. He says this, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make you your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Somebody say through you. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, speak it out to your neighbor and say, all the people will be blessed through you. Now you notice this passage. Look at the passage once again. It shows me that Abraham is going to be a great nation. A great name is going to be established on him. And at the same time, God is going to bless those who blessed him. And God is going to curse those who cursed him. Oh. But not all. All nations will be blessed through him. What I discover from this passage, of course, there are many people who discover different things, but I just discovered one thing here for you, is that the greatness derives from God's greatness. Are you with me? Any greatness that happens derives from God's greatness. And what does it mean to have that greatness? Listen, greatness is defined here by what we do for others. Greatness is defined here by what we do for others. How can you and I be great? You can only be great by doing something that others may be blessed. That is the definition of greatness. The world defines greatness very different from the scriptures. That's why we oftentimes cringe when we hear people projecting a different definition of greatness. It's about their wealth and titles and all sort of accolades behind them. But it's not all those things that make you great. What makes you great is what you do for others. What you have done for others, the services, the sacrifices that you have done for others. Someone said this, when you find yourself in the position to help someone, be happy and feel blessed because God is answering that person's prayer through you. Amen. Nathan just shared a testimony about a woman who was wanting to have this docket, 4 cents docket. And by giving to her, to you is just a paper or just a little blessing. But do you know it could be an answering prayer to that person's life? I pray today that our purpose on earth is to do for others. The greatest thing in life is to serve others. Will your family be blessed through you? Will your colleagues be blessed through you? Will your church members be blessed through you? Or will you say to somebody, oh, I don't want to do anything for this guy. I hate him. Oh. Well, you may not do anything for the person. That doesn't mean the person is robbed of the opportunity. I tell you what, you are robbed of the blessing. That's the whole idea, isn't it true? The greatest thing in life is to serve, is to be a blessing to somebody else. Secondly, there is another promise of Abraham that is very much needed in our lives. Look at the next one. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'To your offspring I will give you this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him." Of course, if you read before that, he went over to Shechem as he traveled through the land. And the Bible says, at that time, the Canaanites were in that land. Listen very carefully. He just left Haran and he was walking and he's moving, he's traveling. And he rests in this place called Shechem. And in Shechem, the Canaanites were still there. Now, as I was reading this passage, the promises of God came to Abraham as he appeared there. And he said to Abraham, "To your offspring, I will give this land." Looks like Abraham is going to have children, isn't it? He's going to have children. The Bible says about the seed who would inherit the land. And I thought through, this is the same promise that all of us have. We are given the offspring. We are given children. Listen, we are given children to inherit God's promises. Are you with me? Amen. When you look at your kids, they are not just kids who runs around making so much noise and tearing your hair apart. No, no, they are kids that God put in your hand and put in your life, that they are meant to inherit God's promises. They are not there to stay in your house and just be called your children. They are there in your house to be raised up to be called children of the living God. That's what God has put our children into our hands with responsibility. The very fact that they appear speaks about our calling and our responsibilities. Are we Christian parents growing our children the right way? This is one question we need to ask. Are we raising the children rightly? Because if we do not, they will not inherit God's promises as God had given that promise to them. Will they become a righteous nation? Will the covenant of blessing flow from one generation to another generation? Isn't it a solemn question to ponder? I tell you what, Satan is all out to destroy our young people more than he ever did. Why did he want to attack the young children and the people, the young adults? I tell you why. Because he doesn't want you to inherit God's promises. When you have God's promises, there will be such a potent power in your life. Satan is all out to devalue children's life by making them independent before maturity. Look at our society having more crises everywhere by the youth and by the young people because they have been made independent without really matured. We need to stop these problems by raising our next generation the right way. Abraham not only was given the promise that he's going to have an offspring ready to inherit God's promises, but the Bible says he built an altar. Now, very strangely, the first part of the promise at the beginning, God said that you are going to be a blessed nation. Now, God renewed that promise by saying that he's going to have offspring that will inherit the promise. So Abraham built an altar. I want you to know that altars many a time is always built because of an encounter with God. And in this encounter, in this particular encounter, he established an altar indicating an altar of trust. He trusted God according to that promise given to him. You see, Abraham was brought to this place, Shechem. And the Bible says at that time, Canaanites were still there. And I could imagine Abraham like any one of us. God, if you ever want to bring me to a place, bring me to a place where the place is verdant, the place is beautiful, the valley with a flowing river and beautiful flowers by the side, strewn with roses all around. And you will be saying, this is the place you should be bringing me. But why do you bring me to a place where the Canaanites were still there? The Canaanites were brutal people. They were very corrupted, perverted. When they take any of the women, they will rape them. Why do you bring me to this place? And the altar was established to show one thing. Lord, even though you may have brought this place, I may not fully understand, but I'm building this altar here because I trust in your promise. I trust because whatever you say, you will bring it true. You know, sometimes God brings you to a place that is most unexpected, isn't it? And you wonder why. Why bring me to that place? There were times when many years ago, people were saying, why bring to a place where Calvin's church is only a small church? We don't have much things here. Which is true. How many of you start a small shop you expect to compare with the warehouses, wholesalers? No, you can't. And by the way, we are not here to compare. Hallelujah. We are uniquely designed by God. Amen. If we do comparison, then we got problem in raising our family. Isn't it true? We will be constantly comparing one child to the other. Why is this child fat and the other one is not eating well? We will be constantly comparing. Why is this child so intelligent, that one is not too intelligent? Why this child is so better looking, the other one, oh, maybe he looks more like the mother. We start comparing, you know what I mean? And that's the danger. So we are not comparing. However, we are here to be where we are. God has called and placed us in order to be effective in God's kingdom. The preaching of God's word will never be shortchanged in this place. Somebody say amen. And we believe in God's word here. And the altar was built showing that he will trust the Lord in that promise. Thirdly, this is a very unique event. In Genesis 13, it was after Abraham's unselfish attitude by allowing his nephew to choose where he wants to go and where he wants to be. And soon after the Lord departed, the Lord spoke to Abraham. Abraham, he says, after the Lord had departed, he says, look around. From where you are to the north and south, to the east and west, all the land that you see, I will give you and your offspring forever. Take that word, forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, and for I am giving it to you. So again, the promise was reiterated that Abraham and his seed would inherit the land of Israel, but this time he added the word forever. Forever. And not only that, the promise now began to go a bit further in detail by saying, your seed will be like the dust of the earth. There will be numerous and populous. Now listen carefully. During this time, he has not had a son yet. And there was no evidence. No evidence at all. Now, what I'm seeing here is that this is a very powerful sin. Saying this to Abraham, Abraham, your Lord nephew has just left you. He was grieving, by the way. He was sad that his nephew has left. In the early stage, his father brought the nephew along with him and the family as they traveled out of Ur. And now Lord has departed from that family. And there is also a good reason for that. But then at the time, Abraham was a little bit sad about the whole matter. And he was grieving over the matter. But why I say this powerful, it simply means this. Even though he may not see it yet happening, he was enforced and enriched by this promise so that when he began to journey himself, he need to live his life unwaveringly at the promises of God. That means he must not be shaken. You must not waver. You must not say, I have not gone. God, you have spoken to me 3 times. You have spoken to me so many times. I've not seen it happen yet, Lord. I do not know when it's going to happen. God, you know I desperately need a son. Say, you said I'm going to be a great nation, but I'm not seeing it happening, Lord. But he did not question, because the Lord says you got to walk unwaveringly. You got to walk constantly, even though you may not see it. How many of us here today that God has given you a promise, but because that promise has not materialized yet, you start to waver after a year, after two, after three, and you say, God, I don't know, Lord, you told me I'm going to set up a church and build a church. God, you told me that I'm going to start a business and do this and do that. Lord, I don't see any link. I don't see any connection. I don't see any open door. And you start to waver and you start questioning. And you looked up to heaven and say, Lord, why is it so long? Why are you not working through? And you're praying for some relationship to be resolved. And you pray, God, help me. It's not resolved. Lord, why are you not doing anything? But the promises of God were still there, even though it is not happening yet. And that was exactly what Abraham was going through. Your seed is going to be numerous. Lord, I would understand if you said, my son is going to inherit, but now you're telling me it's going to be a great nation, it's going to be like a dust on the earth. I really can't imagine that, Lord. But the Lord says so. And this is exactly what the Lord is trying to help Abraham. He told Abraham, Abraham, look around you. Go, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. Did the Lord say that? For I am giving it to you. How many of you know that is a promise? Amen? Amen? And the Lord said very clearly to Abraham, go, scout, look around. From the north to the south, to the east to the west. Go, walk through the length and the breadth, because I'm giving it to you. You know what the Lord says? The larger you see, the greater faith is called upon. The greater length and the breadth that you're going to see, there will be greater demand of your faith. And what God is saying to him at the end, I am the source of your provision. Abraham began to realize that God is his primary resource, because the Lord says, for I am giving it to you. He didn't say, you're going to take it. He says, for I am giving it to you. Abraham needs to know that promise is about God, who is his primary resource. How many of you today, whatever your needs are, would you be turning to the left and to the right and ask, where can I get these needs met? The Lord says, look unto him. Somebody agree with me right now. Look unto him, because he is your provider. It's not the leaders of the church. It's not about the pastor. It's not about any titles of anyone who comes and minister. Is about God. His name is Jesus. He is the source of your help. I'm very encouraged by that situation, because I come from a family where none of them were believers except me. And I'm the youngest at that time. Still am. I can never overtake them. You know, yeah, between myself and Peter, our age gap is so big. He's so old, I'm so young. And But we had such a great time of fellowship, because we understand. When I was young and talking to the family members of the house and the home, none of them wanted to listen to me. But the prayer makes the changes. Hallelujah. And I realized when my family, when my mom and dad and my brothers, my sisters gave their life to Jesus within 6 months or less, I told the Lord exactly what His Word promises me. When He offered me the gift of salvation, He offered them the same gift. Hallelujah. And the opportunity was there. And they took that gift and was given the ability to experience the experience of the promises of God. I have three wonderful children, though they have caused me to lose a lot of hair, but nonetheless, they are wonderful children. They have grown up in the fear of the Lord, but beyond them, I have spiritual children. Amen. Spiritual disciples and mentees that I have mentored and allow me to help them to carry out God's promises unselfishly so that it can be extended to the length and to the breadth. As the Lord has said to Abraham, walk the length and the breadth. I am also walking the length and the breadth for spiritual disciples. Fourthly, Abraham believed and he was called righteous. He was credited to him as righteous. But there's something about these promises in this particular passage in Genesis 15, verse 12 to 21. It's a long passage, so I do not have much time to read them to you, but I just want you to know one thing. Prior to this incident, the Lord is preparing Abraham to get an establishment of a covenant between him and God. Between him and God. And as he was preparing, Abraham fell into a deep sleep and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country, not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. How many of you know that was a prophecy? It was right there when they were in Egypt, but this was like many years before that thing took place. And then he says, but I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possession. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried in an old age, at a good old age. In the fourth generation, listen to this. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. And then verse 18, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said to your descendants, I give this land. And then the Lord specified the land of the Canaanites, the Kenizzites, the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, Jebusites, and whatever ites you can think of now. God made the covenant with Abraham with a sacrifice. The boundaries of the land were defined. It is at this point the Lord chose to announce to Abraham's faith as a saving faith. Because prior to that, as I said, the Lord said to Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it. And then Abraham was a little bit puzzled. He asked this question, O Lord God, how may I know that I shall possess it? And that's when the Lord began to tell him, says, bring me 3-year-old heifer and 3-year-old female goat and 3-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two and laid each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. And the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses and Abraham drove them away. The covenant was then established. Reason why? Because the Bible says, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. And then when the carcasses were divided, the Lord walked through. Abraham did not. The covenant was supposed to be established between Abraham and God, but only God walked through, but not Abraham. So there was only one person, God Himself. What does it speak about? It speaks about the covenant is unilateral. It speaks about that a covenant is unconditional. To me, this is what it says. The covenant is now completed by God alone. That means it is unconditional. Human failure will not spoil or deter God's decision. No matter what man may do, no matter what you see today, the church may fail, the Christians may fail, but it doesn't stop God's promises. God's promises is yea and amen. It's unconditional. As long as you come to Him, that's the point. That's why the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us because we behave well. He didn't die for us because we think we are better now. No. It was unconditional because way back in with Abraham, the covenant was established. It's unilateral, it's unconditional. Whatever you do, you will not spoil the promises of God. And that's exactly what Abraham needs to realize. That's why Abraham received this news in Genesis 15 when God says, I am a shield to you, your very great reward. So because of that, I realize and understand better what the New Testament was saying, that Jesus Christ is God's yes to the covenant promised. That means if you and I are heirs of those promises, Jesus is God's yes to you. Amen. So when you come to Him, He says yes to you. When you kneel before Him and pray to Him and worship Him, He says yes to you. And therefore, the promises is because of Jesus Christ. These promises are definite and is rooted in Christ and Christ alone. I can show you in the scripture in Romans 4:13, the promise to Abraham's descendants that they should inherit the world. And 1 Corinthians 3, the Bible says, all things are yours, whether the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Hallelujah. That's the promise. There is limitless blessing that is very much expressed through the mercy and the grace of God. I pray today that you will understand that you have the promises of God right in front of you. Lastly, but not least, in Genesis 22, that was the time when Abraham offered Isaac at Mount Moriah. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven in the second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son and your only son. Now, the reason why he can only swear by himself, because the covenant was made by him alone. You don't go around and start swearing. You did not make any covenant yourself. But he did. He has every right to do that. And then he said this, and because you have done this and have not withheld your son and your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. Listen to this. This is an additional word to the promise. He says, your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. All the while, he was talking about the land. Now he says he's going to take the cities all their enemies, okay? And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. You saw that before. Because you have obeyed me. Don't forget that. He add on to that promise. Because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants and they set up together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Explicitly indicated that there will be a victory. Abraham's promise was given to him, telling him, you need not have to be worrying. You need not have to worry much. Why? Because I have promised you, your descendants will take possession from the cities of the enemies. There will be a battle, there will be a fight, but you are going to take it. So some of us Christians say, when I come become a Christian, everything is going to be smooth. You're living in a lie. When you walk in a Christian world, there will be battle. Somebody say amen. Oh, some of you here are so quiet. When I talk about battle, you mean I have to face problem? Hallelujah. Good news for you. Hello. Good news, isn't it? How can you be soldiers if you don't fight? I'm not asking you to go down to the street and knock somebody out, all right? Never. Never. Hallelujah. I sense the anointing is flowing again. You know, this is exactly what we need to realize. There will be a battle. God is saying you're going to take that. You see, the promises of God is not going to come down onto your lap. He gave you the promise, but you got to do something about it. You may have to fight through to take that promise as the Lord has given to us. Abraham knew this very well. And then at the same time, he said the seed of his nation will be blessed. The descendants will be blessed. And it's confirmed by an oath from God. What did he say? Because you have obeyed me. Brothers and sisters, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And we thought, thank you, Lord, for your promises. It's all falling down onto my lap. I'm thanking you, Lord, because I believe in your promises. But the Lord says, because Abraham obeyed me. Father, I thank you for your promises. But don't ask me to do all these things, Lord. Don't ask me, because I need more sleep, Lord. I need more sleep. Lord, I don't have time to play the music, Lord. I don't have time to serve you because I'm so busy. I'm always on call, Lord. Please help me. I can't serve you. But the Lord says to Abraham, I've given him the promise because he obeyed me. All nations will be blessed through you. How many of you believe that God is going to bless your life only when we obey the Lord? Fulfillment of God's promises, very quickly, let me share this with you. The fulfillment of God's promises is possible when you and I do not hold back our sacrifices. The reason why the Lord said he obeyed him was because he did not withhold his son Isaac. Don't withhold the sacrifices because the Lord looked at your willingness to sacrifice. That is the expression of your obedience. 2 Peter 1:3-4, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. God has already given us the promised. He says, through this, He has given us His very great and precious promises. We need to live the godly life. And God has given us the divine power to do so. You are not going to have a godly life by yourself and by your strength. It's by His grace. I often ask this question. God, you already knew Abraham. You knew that he is a righteous man now, that you have credited to him. Why do you want him to offer his son? The very fact that he asked him to offer his son, because James actually said something along this line. He says his faith was made complete by what he did. And I realized the depth of this profound word that God has spoken. The relationship that we have in Jesus Christ is not just verbalized, it's not just a confession, but it must be confirmed genuinely that our faith must be expressed with action. We can verbalize our faith. I love you, Jesus. Like many other husband and wife would sometimes say to their husband and their wife, I love you, dear. I love you. But how often time do we actually have time to show the amount of our love and our depth of our love to each other? I remember this little story that someone sent to me. It was a little, and I find it very humorous about this. This is a newlywed couple went off for their honeymoon, enjoyed themselves, and came back. All of us, they were really happy couple. But when he came back, his newly wedded wife was a bit flabbergasted and angry, and ran home. And her mother was in the house. She just stormed in, slammed the door, and she was so angry. And mother was a bit worried. What's happening to my daughter? And so she knocks at the door and asks the daughter, say, honey, what's wrong with you? What's happening? You just came back from honeymoon. You should be happy, am I right? So she knocked at the door, and the daughter said, Mom, don't ask me. I hate it. Why? What's wrong? You know, my husband, he always used these four-letter words. I hate those words. You know, he's constantly using these four-letter words at me, and I hate it. Mom, don't ask me anymore. And the mother was angry because that's her daughter, right? And I said, no, you tell me. What did he say? I'm going to deal with him. Tell me, what did he say? No, Mom, you don't want to know. It's a bad word. It's a filthy word. He said, but you got to tell me what they are. Oh, Mom, Yeah, he always asked me to wash, to iron, to cook, to fold. I don't think we have any problem in our wife loving us as husbands, and you'll be willing to do those things, am I right? A genuine relationship has no problem with that. I knew Chris is going to say that very quickly. Yeah, I could imagine 5 years' time, Chris and Gemma will be having the conversation, and Gemma will probably be saying, honey, our anniversary is tomorrow. And the husband says, oh, yeah, that's right. Where do you want to go? Why not bring me to a place I've never been before? And Chris looked at Gemma and said, okay. Next morning, he got up, he brought her to the kitchen. But a good relationship, a genuine relationship, will not have any of these problems. Am I right? But at the end of the day, for the sake of inheriting God's promises, I hereby place my priority to serve the living God. Amen? With that, there is so much space and opportunities for me to enjoy and experience the promises of God that is already and that are already there. The promises of Abraham was not only for him, but it was for all of us here. We are called to inherit Amen. God's promises. As long as we are Abraham's seed, because we belong to Jesus Christ, we are all heirs of those promises. Somebody say, Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410 985 432, or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.